Hello everyone, and nice to be in New Orleans today. And Dr. Sanat has given us a really good introduction on the drought in California and how the grape industry looked like. So from another perspective, I will talk about white grapes also in the really warm regions of Fresno. So the things I will talk about today is the effect of irrigation amounts during fruit ripening on skin and the signings enforced the Cabernet Sauvignon grapevines. So first, let's get something about anthocyanins in vines and grapes. They are the main pigments in red vines and really important for their color and quality. And anthocyanins are primarily extracted from berry skins to vines for the majority of the red wine grape varieties. The accumulation of anthocyanins starts at arisen, which is the state the berry colors start to change from green to purple. And their concentration at harvest actually really crucial for harvest and is really good, really important for winemakers. And by Cabernet Sauvignon itself, 15 individual anthocyanins are present in grapes and vines. So this is a classification of anthocyanins charts, and we could say based on their molecular structure, and they can be separated in different ways. Based on the branches of phenylpropionate biosynthesis pathway, and they make the difference on the number of substituents on the phenolins, which is highlighted in red. And then in this way, it could be separated in two groups of anthocyanins, dihydroxylated and trihydroxylated. So for the dihydroxylated anthocyanins, they're including cyanidin and peonidin-based anthocyanins. However, for a bigger group of trihydroxylated anthocyanins, they're including diphenidin, petionidin, and mirfidin. And for Cabernet Sauvignon, trihydroxylated anthocyanins are the major group. And also have another way to separate the anthocyanins, we could depending on the acylations of the glycosides. Non-acylated anthocyanins just by itself, and it's actually the major group. And another group, and anthocyanins can be also acylated and to be acidified with picomeroic acid and acetated acid. So cultural practices and climatic factors are always talked about for wine grape production, and irrigation management is one of the really powerful ones. And in cool and warm regions, irrigation has been used for address vine vigor, optimize fruit quality, and increase the water use efficiency. Crop evapotranspiration, which is short for ETC, is used as a reference for irrigation schedule. And depending on the regions and the different stage of growing, and the timing and amount of irrigation we put on the vineyards can be really different. And the previous research indicate moderate water stress during berry development, which indicated from fruit set to harvest, could contribute to smaller berry size and a higher ratio of skin to the total berry weight, which that means more skin, we have got more skins based on the weight basis. So how irrigation amounts affect fruit ripening, affect the anthocyanin accumulation during fruit ripening? And irrigation, maybe just in the dry regions, it become really powerful. And when we decrease the irrigation amount, it can potentially lead to water stress on grapevines. And moderate water stress during fruit ripening can significantly increase the concentration of anthocyanins at harvest for Cabernet Sauvignon, Shiraz, and Merlot in cool and temperate regions. And so we find out when wines under water stress and more genes of more expression of anthocyanin genes are absorbed, and also the trihydroxylated anthocyanins, the major group, has been affected by water stress. So when we want to apply those cultural practices on the vines, there is a big thing in the region is climatic factors, and the temperature is a major one. Temperatures range from 15 to 20 degrees C are believed to be optimal for anthocyanin accumulations. However, if the temperature higher than 30 degrees C during berry fruit ripening, and it will result in less anthocyanin biosynthesis and more degradation, which is one of the biggest problems in warm regions. So we try to use a cultural practice called crowd forcing to shift the fruit ripening from the cool portion to the cooler portion of the growing season. Try to expose berries to cooler temperatures to increase anthocyanin accumulation. And our previous research on Cabernet Sauvignon indicate anthocyanins do increase in forced fruit. So let's say how much the phenology could be shifted when we apply crowd forcing in the warm regions. So for wines under conventional practice, the fruit ripening, which indicated from varietal to harvest, is always happen in the hottest months from July to August. No matter the monthly average maximum temperature or monthly maximum temperature, it looks super scary. It's all above 30 degrees C, and which could contribute to less anthocyanin biosynthesis. And however, if we look at the vines under crowd forcing, which ripening from mid of September to November, first, it has a large time window to ripen, and second, it has more time exposed to cooler temperatures, and which potentially increase anthocyanin concentration. And so that led us to an idea. Since we have shifted the fruit ripening to the cooler portion of the growing season, if we irrigate less and to give the vines little water stress, does that contribute to more anthocyanins at harvest in the fourth crop? According to answer the question, experiments have been conducted in 2013 and 2014 in Fresno, California, which is defined as one of the warmest regions for wine grape production. And the plant materials has been used mature Cabernet Sauvignon vines grafted on Freedom. Experiment was designed followed RCBD with four applications and five vine each. Forcing treatment is usually applied in mid of June and maybe around 12 of June, and so we remove the primary clusters, leaves, and the laterals, and hedge the primary shoots to 6 nodes in this way to force the vines to regrow and to shift the phenology. And the irrigation treatments on forced vines specific for post-varietal. Before that, 100% EDC are applied to ensure the vines could develop a full canopy. And then when the vine approach to varietal, and 40, 60, 80, or 100% EDC are the treatments apply on the vine tier harvest. And so for berry sampling, we do it at a commercial maturation and randomly from fruiting zone, and anthocyanin analyzed by HPLC system. So let's see the result. So that's really exciting for us, the total skin anthocyanins increasing both of the year when we apply less water on the vine. And the increase is ranging from 25%. That's quite a lot, and the winemakers must love this idea. And the increase is majorly contributed to mavidin-based anthocyanin and acylated anthocyanin. And we believe when the vines under stress, they trying to accumulate in the form which is more stable. And acylated anthocyanin and mavidin-based anthocyanin definitely fit the purpose. However, we could say for the anidins, which only count a small portion for the anthocyanin profile, and also dihydroxylated anthocyanins are not affected for both year. And the year variations does contribute to the difference on irrigation treatments. We could say in 2014, in general, the vines response for water stress more significantly, though they have a bigger berry size, which related to a little bit lower anthocyanin concentration at commercial harvest. So let us go deeper into the individual anthocyanin compounds. Agree with previous research, mavidin-based anthocyanin, especially mavidin glucosides, are significantly affected by irrigation. And we believe that's why it contributed to the increased total skin anthocyanin, because based on what we could see the number here, And mapping through glucosides is a major enzyme for the whole profile. And for the acetylated mavidines, and they can be a little different response to irrigation treatments for the both ears. And also pertunidine, which is also in the trihydroxylated anthocyanin groups, we notice the increase significantly in both ears when we put less water on the vine. Agree with what we have observed on table 1, say anidine, acetate glucoside, and the majority of the cameroid glucosides are not affected by irrigation. So the conclusion about our research is glad we find when we irrigate the vine at 40 and 60%, the total skin anthocyanins, acylated anthocyanins, and the trihydroxylated anthocyanins were significantly increased, and the range is from 15 to 35%. And for the depending on the groups, mavidine-based anthocyanins, especially mavidine-3 glucosides, is the compound significantly affected by our irrigation treatments. However, irrigation amounts doesn't really affect the concentration of, say, anidine-based anthocyanins and the dihydroxylated anthocyanins, and also the proportion. So that leads to us idea like maybe the irrigation contributes to smaller berry size, but we will look more close on that side because on berry size it's not significantly different. But we don't know if that's a trend which could influence the ratio of skin to total berry weight. So in general, post-varizen reduction in irrigation amount can increase skin anthocyanins in forced grapevines to further increase to further enhance fruit quality and contribute to better wine quality. For this research, I need to thanks to my supervisor, Dr. San Liang Gu, and though he's not here, and also the research group. I know I need a photo for that, but they work too hard, always show the back to me. Sorry for that. And also, the finding results is from California State University Agricultural Research Institution. And during my research, the multiple assistantship does help a lot. Thank you.
No questions from the audience? Yeah?
I know that this is tricky for wine grapes, but looking at yield, have you tried to look at the total amount of anthocyanin that you were getting out using the relation with the yield that you had?
So the question is about on a yield base, does the anthocyanins increase? Yeah, because the unit I use for the anthocyanin concentration is milligram per kilogram fresh berry weight. So I'm sure that increased the anthocyanins. But for anthocyanins, we only sample the berries and it come with individual. So that's really hard to draw a general conclusion like how much anthocyanin has increased like per ton of grapes. But irrigation management can be used to potentially increase that and to eliminate water use, increase the water use efficiency. I think from this perspective, it has their own fate.
Thank you, Jensen.
Thank you.